The reading this morning is taken from the first book of Corinthians, chapter 12, beginning at verse 1, concerning spiritual gifts. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. Unity and diversity in the body. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that are less honourable we treat with special honour, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, Third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. Love is indispensable, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. This is the word of the Lord.
Have you had a good week? Sue and I had the most wonderful time on Friday, I think it was. We met up with some people that we last saw 40 years ago. And we spent some time in a coffee shop and we had some lunch together. And we talked away for hours. And it was just wonderful meeting up with brothers and sisters who we've not seen, as they say, for such a long time, and just to see the way that they have been growing in the Lord. It was such an encouragement. And our prayer for each of us as we get older in our Christian faith is that we would be going on well with the Lord. And this morning, we're continuing our series where we're looking at the Holy Spirit. And this morning, especially, we're looking at the gifts that he gives to the church. I want to read verses 4-6 again from the New Living Translation. It says, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but is the same God who does the work in all of us. We're talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit this morning, and as your pastor, and who is somebody who has served for many years now, I'm very aware that the idea of the gifts of the Spirit is actually quite divisive. Churches have literally blown up over this subject. People have become incredibly divided. Churches have closed over this matter, and it is an absolute tragedy. And if you have experienced pain in this area, I just want to say I'm so sorry. Spiritual gifts seems to be so contentious, but there's nothing new in that. It was contentious even in Paul's time. In verse 1, we read, now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. There was a lot of ignorance, and some, of course, played on that, and there is nothing new under the sun. This morning, I hope you will see that gifts are not to be feared. Rather, they are what they say they are, and that is gifts from God. And can I just say thank you? I'm not quite sure who gave me that gift this morning, but there's quite a large bar of chocolate right next to me. So you know that I love my chocolate. And somebody's given me that gift this morning, and I'm thinking, oh, wow, that is wonderful. And that's how we should be with gifts. We should think, oh, my goodness, this is wonderful. Thank you. And especially when it's God giving us those gifts. He knows what is best for us. He knows what is good, not just for us as individuals, but for us as the body of Christ, the family of Jesus. The word used in Scripture for spiritual gift is the Greek word charismata, which literally means grace gift. God's grace is at the heart of these gifts. And I'm sure that is why the enemy, Satan, actually does so much damage in this area, because these gifts that God has given us are so powerful, not just for the body of Christ, but for society. Because when the church operates within this realm of the spiritual gifts, that's when the church truly comes alive. Because we're using the resources that God has given us for this time that we live in. So what are spiritual gifts? Well, verse tells us, this is from the NLT again, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. They are tools, not toys. And I think the sad reality is, as somebody who's been on the planet a while now, is that people seem to use spiritual gifts as toys to be played with rather than tools to serve with. So a spiritual gift is given by the Holy Spirit to believers so we can help each other in our Christian walk. If you're a Christian here this morning, or if you're following us online and you're a Christian, God has given you at least one spiritual gift. Everybody has at least one spiritual gift. And in this passage, we see several gifts mentioned. It isn't a definitive list. There are other lists. You can find something in Ephesians 4 and in 1 Peter. And I don't believe that that is an exhaustive list anyway. But let's have a look at the gifts mentioned in this letter. Now, I'm actually going to read it from the New Living Translation, a translation I particularly love, but follow along your own Bible. And it says this: to one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice, the spiritual gift of wisdom. And as your pastor, I must be honest, I pray for lots of spiritual gifts, but the top one I pray for is this one. Is wisdom. That we might know God's heart, God's mind on things. To another, the Spirit, same Spirit, gives a message of special knowledge. The kind of knowledge that doesn't come from books, although we need to be reading. We need to read God's Word. We need to read other books that will help us get closer to God. But there is some knowledge that gives you sort of like straight into our minds. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And do you know, as I was preparing for today, I was thinking to myself, I wonder in Scripture if you can just name some people who you think were people of great faith. Who comes to mind? This isn't rhetorical, but I need you to respond. Who comes to mind when you think about people in Scripture with great faith? Abraham. I went there as well. That's a really cool. Good answer. Lovely. Moses was a man of faith, absolutely. I love Moses because he was a man who so reluctantly responded to the Lord's call to go back to Egypt. Anybody relate to that? And yet God filled that man, even though his knees were shaking and knocking, and gave him the faith to do that. Who else? Rahab, absolutely. Dear me, yes, thank you. Lydia, yes. It's a lovely name, Lydia, isn't it? Sorry, Paul. People of faith. Somebody else? Ruth. Yes. People of faith. And I don't know about you, but when I'm confronted with people of faith, it just makes me feel a little bit taller. It just fills me with a little bit more hope. We've been praying this morning for one of our own who's just been taken into hospital even this morning because her condition seems to have deteriorated. But I must be honest, every time I'm with Barbara, I just feel a little bit taller. I feel as if the world is actually filled with a bit more light because there is a woman there of incredible faith. I remember she was saying to me, as Sue and I popped to see her just this past week, she doesn't know the outcome in terms of this disease, but she knows who holds her and she knows where she's going. It's just wonderful being around people of faith. To someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. Now, I absolutely pray that we will see more and more healing within this church, but also within this community. You look at a pastor who believes absolutely in God's healing today. I'm just so saddened after so many years of ministry, I've seen so little healing. Anybody relate to that? I've prayed for so many people that they would recover and they don't recover. And that does something in your soul. And I must be honest, I love rejoicing with those that rejoice, and when you have these incredible stories of victory or deliverance in some sort of way. And yet you think about the other people who've not had that answered prayer. And you just think, oh my word. And the older you get, it can impact your faith. But I just want to say again and declare is that God is a God of healing. Now, I don't believe that it's our position to manipulate God into healing whoever. It's his choice. It's his way. And it's a mystery, I must be honest. But please, God, may we pray more for people to be healed. And may we grow in expectancy that we would see God move. There's a verse in Corinth that talks about, in Corinthians, that talks about where the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. And I must be honest that actually when we look at the church, oftentimes we're full of words. But we don't see that manifestation of God's spirit as we would want to see it. Anybody want to say an amen on that? And I believe that God is waiting for us to call out and be expectant for God to move. Now, I believe that all of it, God can use all of us in terms of healing as we pray for people, pray for healing. But I do believe there's a special gift on some people where God somehow anoints them in a remarkable way. That's a gift that they've got, and they pray for healing and that healing happens. And you know, the reality is that person or those people could be sat looking at me right now. And it may well be that you don't even know that. Or it might be that you're the person who's got that spiritual gift within you, but you haven't even asked God to actually let it out of you and have the courage to actually pray those prayers of faith. I would encourage you, please start asking God to give you that courage to pray those prayers of healing. Physical healing. Healing around mental health. I don't know about you, but whenever I'm with people who are in a place where it's just so dark and they just can't see a door out of that room, I just feel so small. And I just think, oh, please, God, would you open the window, open the door, so that these people can actually drink in the fresh air that you have in this life for them. And yet they seem so, please, please, may we see healing in these areas. And then in verse 10 it says, he gives one person the power to perform the miraculous. Now, you've heard me say previously that Jesus depended completely on the Holy Spirit to do the things that he did. And it's true, of course, of us. And he wants us to be able to, not as toys, but as tools to do things that are absolutely impossible. Have you got a pastor who believes in the miraculous? Yes. I just want to see more of it, please. Another is given the ability to prophesy. Prophesy is one about speaking words of God into a situation now. Does that come only from a pastor? No, I believe that God actually appoints people from within the congregation who are called out to be prophets and are given those words to speak into the life of the church. That could be you this morning. That we discern the mind of Christ and we share that. Of course we check it. There's checks and balances. But God wants us to be able to hear. And he speaks through individuals. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. And again, that is a prayer that I pray for along with wisdom. That spirit of discernment, of knowing and testing the spirits. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages or tongues, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. I've prayed on numerous occasions for the gift of tongues, and the Lord hasn't given me that gift. I have many friends who have that gift and are so grateful for that gift that God has given them. Some of you have that gift. Some of us don't have. And I'm very, very aware of the controversies around this area. I remember being told, I'd been a minister for some little while, but I remember being told by a person who had a particular theology that actually I wasn't really that saved because I couldn't speak in a particular language. And I must be honest, I responded as graciously as you'd expect me to respond. But I actually just felt sad You see, because it's a twisting of scripture. You see, because it's the Holy Spirit who decides what gift they get. You can't just go carte blanche and say, God, I want all of that. I must be honest. I look at these gifts. I think, I want all of them. Anybody want all of them? I'd love to have all of them. But it's down to the Holy Spirit in terms of what he gives us. And so if you don't speak in tongues, have you ever asked God for that gift? Well, ask him. And he might choose to give you that gift. He may not choose. As you've heard, the gifts that I ask for more than anything else are wisdom and discernment. It may well be that God is raising up in you that prayer to please God, give me that gift of healing. In verse 11, it said, it is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. As I say, I want all of those gifts. I long to see people touched by God in such a way that the impossible becomes almost normal. Because we expect God to move. Please can I have an amen to that? You know, please, we just don't want to be a church that actually talks about the Holy Spirit and doesn't experience or live in the power and authority of His Spirit. I'm not sure if it was John who coined this phrase or if it was some others, but as you know, I'm passionate about God's Word. I can't begin to think of a day without spending time in His Word. But somebody coined this phrase, that all Word you dry up, all Spirit you blow up, Word and Spirit you grow up. And that's what we need to be as a church, Word and Spirit, where as a body we truly know the power and the authority of Jesus. I mentioned earlier, these are tools and not toys. Why do I say that? Because actually when you look at the context of chapter 12, and also the chapter that follows, is that so many people over the ages have treated these gifts as if it's something for them to play with. Artie Kendall says this, some think spiritual gifts mean you are spiritual, or a particular gift means you are spiritual. The truth is, you can have a spectacular gift and it is nothing whatsoever to do with your spirituality. What he's getting at there is that you can have the most incredible spiritual gift and be unbelievably immature or disobedient. I remember a situation where a particular minister was being used in the most remarkable way, and people were actually going to this church because healings were happening left, right and center. Indeed, what was happening from that church was that people were taking handkerchiefs from that service to send off to other people, and people were being healed through that. Only to find out that actually when all of this was going on, the minister was having an affair. I do find it rather odd, don't you, that you can have all these different spiritual gifts, but actually it doesn't actually confirm that you're spiritually mature. I think of a couple of people in scripture when I think about this. Think about Samson. Samson had the most incredible gift from God. Anybody want to call him mature? What about Joseph? Joseph had the incredible ability to interpret these dreams, but he was such an annoying kid. His brothers actually sent him off into slavery. And it took years actually for God to work on him before God could actually use him, and that maturity came through the suffering. In chapter 1 of Corinthians, we read this. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, says Paul, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge. Because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, he says, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. You have it all, says Paul, in terms of spiritual gifting. But you only have to go on to verse 10 for him to say this. I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another, so that there may be no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. The reason we have this description of the body in 1 Corinthians 12 that Helen read to us earlier is that people are saying, well, I don't need you. Or actually, I'm more important than you. And there should be nothing of that in the body of Christ. We all need each other. Do you remember our core values? Started with together. We need each other. We are the body of Christ. In the West, we individualize everything. You don't find that in Scripture. The important thing is about family, community, togetherness. Together, all for Jesus, Bible-based, Spirit-filled, one and all. Quoting Artie Kendall again, when you make the gifts of the Spirit an issue, you are going to be divisive. And people are divisive because they're not spiritual. Please note the emphasis in this passage on unity. In verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 12, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. In verse 12, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. We are in this together. And what a Spirit-filled church looks like is a church that absolutely cares for one another. It's not about saying, well, actually, I have this gift that's a bit more special than yours. There's nothing of God in that. But sadly, it's been so prevalent across history. If you're looking for maturity and signs of maturity, what you're looking for is the fruit of the Spirit, not the exercise of the gifts of the Spirit. That said, and I need to finish before we come to welcoming new people into membership. I think that we really need to have a good think about how important it is to desire what we've been studying this morning, and that is spiritual gifts. In verse 3 of the chapter that we read, Paul urges us to eagerly desire the greater gifts. Ask for these miraculous gifts, these supernatural gifts. I'm not talking about your natural gifts. We have a church filled with people with natural gifts, praise God. But I'm talking about those Spirit-filled gifts that God comes, that have been created just for you for this time, for this generation. Eagerly desire those gifts. We're also urged in Scripture not to neglect our gift. And so for some of you who know that you've been given a spiritual gift, but somehow it's been waning, maybe the faith levels have been going down or whatever, but actually God is saying to us again this morning, I want you please to fan that gift into flame. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you, says Paul to Timothy in chapter 4. Then we're urged to exercise our spiritual gifts in 2 Timothy chapter 1. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And then a warning to those who are sniffy about spiritual gifts. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. Just one last quote from R.T. Kendall. It is no sign of spirituality to have them. That's spiritual gifts. It is no sign of spirituality not to have them. It is a sign of unspirituality not to want them. Let's pray. Father, I so long for us to be a church that is so much more than words. I want us to be a church that are so together in expecting you to move in miraculous ways. Please, God, would you help us to long for you to move today? Father, as Angie was praying earlier, I'm thinking this world is getting darker. This world is getting scarier. And how a dark world needs a light, a church to shine brightly. That, Father, that when people meet with us, they will know that we have met with the living God, and that also we expect you to move in and through us. Father, we just want to confess, we know we're not worthy, that's not the issue. But you have called us as weak sinners, but sinners saved by grace, to be your ambassadors and to be your carriers of hope and healing to this broken world. Father, would you please grow in our hearts as we go home today? Would you just keep prompting us to keep asking you, Father, to fill us and for you to give us whatever it is you want to give us so that others can be blessed. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So let me just pray a prayer of blessing over each of you. Father, thank you for one another. Thank you for the great privilege of being part of this church that has such a rich heritage. Lord, you've passed the baton to us. Help us, we pray, to be a worshiping community that expect you, this great and awesome God, to do amazing things through ordinary weak people like us. Father, for the remainder of the day, may we be light and salt. May our words bring healing and hope as we point people to Jesus. Father, we ask this in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. Amen.